That was a good siren.
Rajesh,
cut that and use that for like something. Use that for something. Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning in to us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And to close out season two, y'all know that it was going to be a red.
Cause I was like, I hope y'all knew this by now.
It wasn't going to be any. We tried. We gave y'all some whites the past couple episodes. We threw in a couple of rosés. But season two is going to close with a red. And so today we are drinking on the Federalist. We've had this brand before, and I think I actually like this brand. Like, we've had like a Pinot Noir by them.
I think we've had like three.
Yeah, I think because I think one of them might not have been on the show. That might have been an us thing.
That was an us thing. But the point is that we tried it. We tried for the show, but
yeah. And I'm proud of us because not only are we ending on a red, we are also ending on a 15%er.
Hey. Because, I mean, in these times, we need that. It's been a rough year. Heck, we done had two, we done ended up having a whole season in quarantine.
So, we are drinking the Federalist, the Honest Red Blend. If you didn't know, so the Federalist, it's all like Benjamin Franklin, early, you know, American.
It's all them early founders. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, because the one Think that of the we founding had. Fathers. The one that we had Benjamin
Franklin.
Thank you. I was about to say Ben Carson.
I was going to say, you was going to say Danica. He ain't on one of the Federalists.
No, but this one has, obviously it's called Honest Red Blend. So it's Honest Abe. It says on the back that, okay, we know that Abe Lincoln wasn't a Federalist, but we think his efforts to preserve the Union make him plenty worthy to sit alongside the founding fathers with this rich, full-bodied red blend. So it is a five-part blend. 45% Zinfandel, 24% Merlot, 20% Cab Sav, 7% Malbec, and a 4% Cab Franc. I really hope I like this because it sounds delicious.
Ooh, so I'm going to like this because I just was sipping a little bit on a Cab Franc earlier. Yeah, that
see.
Was also along with the rum punch, girl. It was a long
He's doing
one.
A lot. So the website says it has a rich, round mouthfeel. We learned that with lush black currant flavor and the subtlest hint of North Coast Carolina spice. They just say it tastes damn good. So yeah, it's dark fruit, spicy,
get the,
and a long
I don't
finish.
Get the mouthfeel. It feel real light on the tongue.
It looks light. Oh.
But you get that black currant. So now I know what that tastes like because I've been smelling and I'm like, this smells familiar. I don't
it
know
has
why.
No legs though.
Nah, this like thing ain't leggy.
It's not. It's not.
Oh wait, yes it
anything.
Is. Yes it is. A little. Hold on.
I don't know. I don't see.
Yeah, it's got some. No, it's actually got some thick ass.
I don't see nothing on my. Oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
The light. No, okay. There we go. So yeah, that's what we are sipping on today. It's actually
I
not
do
that
taste
bad.
The spice. It's just it does not have. So for them to say it's, they said it's what, full bodied mouthfeel or medium.
They said it's a long, a rich, round mouthfeel.
I don't taste
I
the
give
rich.
It rich. I think it's rich.
It's, you know what? I don't know whether we've just been drinking too much wine, but for me, like, it does not linger. It doesn't linger the same way.
No.
And I don't know what I'm, like, I've had ones that, it makes my tongue do the little thing, which I will say is, yes, y'all know the
That's the
thing.
That's mm-hmm. the tannins.
It gives me that on my tongue, but nowhere else do I have that pucker. It's like,
well,
only.
It makes sense that it does that because a lot of what it's blended with, like this is a blend of a lot of dry wines, like Zinfandels, Cab Savs, a Malbec. Malbecs are super dry.
Funny enough.
So, yeah.
I like all of those and I didn't realize that my favorite wine is a Malbec or a Syrah, which both are.
I have a 19 Crime Syrah sitting.
That's my fave. Yes, that's one of
I
my
don't think
faves.
I've had that one yet.
You'll love it.
We'll try that next season, guys. We'll try that next season.
I tried it on my own, so you know.
But that is what we are sipping on today. The Federalist Honest Red Blend. It's a 2017. It says on the website that it's actually supposed to be 14.5%, but the one I have definitely is 15%. So make sure you check your bottles for correct percentages. But for our season finale, we are doing, this is part two of the episode from last week. So last week we talked to Sheree's husband, Brandon, aka what I call him, Cyrus, and Cyrus's friend,
Terrell.
Name, please.
Terrell. The look she gave, I was like, Terrell.
I was like, hello. You gonna yes. put it in? I thought that's what it was.
We talked to two black men raising black kings.
So we had the dad's view last week, and so we decided it would be fitting to close out the season with kind of just a cultumation of what a lot of this season has been about. You know, we've talked a lot this, we've had a lot of different topics this season. Everything from mental health and self-care. We've talked about kids and things like that.
We talked about the whole injustice and everything. I think that everything that we've talked about this season, like with everything that's gone on, it's been a heavy content season in terms of like the things going on around us. I think that's where it's like inspiration.
Our second season started with our brown skin girl episode, and that was when we talked about because Kamala was just put on Joe's ticket.
Yep.
We weren't sure if they were going to win, but they did, thank God. And so we started the episode praising Black Girl Magic and how hard it is for Black women out here. And now we're ending the season with talking about Sheree, and I just wanted to kind of give our personal experiences about what we thought and what we felt and how we feel about raising, in Sheree's case, a
little black boy.
And in my case, an Afro-Latino little boy who's getting more melanin by the day.
I just want you to know he's so adorbs.
Yes. Did you see him on Instagram?
Yes, we both saw. She's like, look, she was like, he's so cute. I said, yeah, he's adorable. He gonna be a big baller, Shaq Caller. What?
He has to get glasses.
How?
Yeah. So this is complete side note, y'all.
Girl, you messed that poor baby up.
So I can't see far away. He has one eye that he can't see close up, which was not what I was expecting at all. I've been terrified that he's going to be nearsighted. He is farsighted. How many people do you know that are farsighted? I feel like that's so unusual.
Like,
and it's only in one eye. It's his right eye. So when he was like 18 months old, I think, at one of his like pediatrician, they did the little focus eye test, and they thought he might have had a lazy eye. And so I took him to the eye doctor then, and the doctor wasn't really concerned about it. He said it seemed fine. But now he went back, because normally he said they come back around 3, because typically that's when they start preschool and things like that. And so he did like the test on him. He was like, and mind you, I've had the same eye doctor forever, so the doctor knows me, the doctor sees my mom, he knows that we're blind as bats. And so he's
good,
like,
to know.
Yeah, so he's like, so your son is farsighted in one eye, which was the exact opposite of what I thought we might see.
I don't know why this is happening.
So he's gonna get little glasses. He doesn't have to wear them all the time, only like when we're doing school or if he's looking at a tablet or a phone or something like that. Anything that he's looking close up, he'll have to wear them. TV time, he won't have to wear them.
So I want you to know that when you say that, you know what I thought of? Like, that's what I'm worried about with all these kids and tablets, because remember, that messes with your eyes. Like, and this is something that they're required to do. Like Brendan being on school, I'm glad that they give him frequent breaks and they're not like asking a lot. Like how they do school for these littles right now are great, because they're taking a lot of breaks. But I'm worried.
We limit a lot of screen time. Like, he watches a lot of TV. Don't get twisted, y'all. We limit a lot of tablet. He very rarely looks at a phone. So he will have to wear them. I don't know if it's going to be a permanent thing. Like I did, he's supposed to start soccer in March ish. I don't know if that's going to happen, but he won't have to wear it.
Soccer
wear.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I signed up for it. We'll see how it goes. But he won't have to wear glasses for any of that stuff. So we'll see how.
We'll see if he might grow out of it, because Brandon had to wear glasses as a kid and he doesn't now.
Said that it's the reason why he's wearing glasses is to try to give the right eye essentially a chance to develop and catch up. Typically you don't grow out of farsightedness, but hopefully it'll catch up enough that it won't be an issue.
It won't be a bother.
Yeah. I've never seen kids that like have to wear reading glasses. Like, no,
that's what I'm saying. Basically your son needs reading glasses, and that is by far the funniest thing. That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. It's so cute though. I think that kids with glasses are cute though. Like, I think
he was super excited. The doctor asked him what his favorite color was, and he said all of them. They're little black frames, and the sides of them have rainbow colors on them. So
he likes all the colors too. Brendan loves rainbows. Like, if he tells me the colors of a rainbow every day, like every single time he gets a chance to do something, because they do rainbow writing in school, but like every time there's a chance for, what are you doing? I'm making a rainbow. And
I remember he told me he really liked his KiwiCo box.
And his little pillow over here that he's just like, I need my rainbow pillow. Okay.
Yeah. So.
So it sounded like we just went off on a tangent, but we're talking about our little black and brown boys.
We are, and so I think I've told this story before. I'll take it back even before I knew I was pregnant. So before. Having a baby was even a thing, and Donald Trump won the election. I literally remember waking up the next day, and I was getting ready for work. My friend and I had went to happy hour the night before because we were convinced we were like going to be celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up the next day to go to work. I literally remember like sitting down in the bathroom and just was like, ugh, like I can't believe this is real life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was driving to work and I called Richard and I was like so upset. I wasn't crying. I don't think I was crying. I may have been. I'm very emotional. But I remember calling him and just being like, babe, how are we supposed to have a kid with this man as president? Because he literally hates everything that is our family. Like, he hates Spanish people. He hates black people. It don't matter that you're a cop because you're a black person first. Like, I just like, how are we supposed to have a kid?
Like, how are we supposed to do this?
And then when I got pregnant and we went to our ultrasound at 13 weeks, the doctor's all like, do you want to know what you're having? And mind you, before we found out what it was, Rich was like, if it's a boy, I want to name him Stokely. And I was like, I'm not naming my child Stokely. It's like, ridiculous. I'm not doing that. Like, what kind of name is Stokely? He's like, oh, it's after Stokely Carmichael. Like, it's a real powerful name. And I was like, I'm not naming my child Stokely.
You didn't just hit the, what is that kind of name?
Yeah, I was just like, I'm not naming my child Stokely. And I really thought I was having a girl. Like, my husband deserved a daughter. So I really thought I was having a girl.
I do remember us wishing that. we wished over you and prayed over you. And
the only
all right, Lord.
The only, like, I think most people said I was going to have a girl, except for Marcus, my best friend. He was like, nope, you're having a boy. Like, he said it from jump that I was
going to
have a
boy. I think we all just hoped. I mean, I think more so I hoped.
Yeah.
But.
And so we get to my 13-week appointment. Mind you, you know, everything I'm reading is like, they can't tell the sex of the baby until about 20 weeks. And that's when they do the anatomy scan and all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, we still got time before we find out what this is. So we go to the doctors. Richard is there with me. And, you know, she's doing her little check. She got the sonogram going. Oh, do you want to find out what it is? I was like, sure. Okay. Like, I wasn't ready for this today, but okay. And
yeah, they can tell at that time, but it's just more accurate. Like,
within, like, literally when she said, do you want to know what it is? And I was like, yeah, she immediately, without hesitation, no hesitation, was like, oh, it's a boy. And all I hear is Richard in the corner just like, yes. I start laughing, crying, because it's so funny to me that it's a boy. And then immediately the first thought that I have was, I'm going to have a Stokely, because I had no alternative name. None. I had nothing. I was so convinced I was going to have me a little Olivia that I had no name.
And mind you, just so y'all know, if you have just joined us, Sasha always knew she only wanted one.
Yes.
So she knew whatever
I knew
it was.
I knew it was going to be an Olivia. Her name was going to be Olivia Maria. After her middle name was going to be after my husband's sister. I just knew that that's what it was going to be. And then it ends up being a Stokely. Mm-hmm. And so then I was convinced that my little Stokely was going to come out caramel color. I just thought he was just going to be this nice.
You just knew. You had a lot. What you had is a whole lot of mental assumptions, which is like what we do as parents. We're just like, what's our child going to look like? You just knew. I don't know why you knew that, though.
In my mind, Richard's color was going to supersede mine.
You thought you wasn't going to be a part of the color? I thought Richard is not darker.
He's not dark. He's brown skin. But I thought he was going to come out closer to being brown skin. I don't know why I thought that. I have no idea why
So you just don't know science. Cool. That's fine. So what we just learned is that Sasha ain't never mixed.
I just thought
Sasha
that,
and all her creativity ain't never mixed no goddamn paint.
I thought Richard's color mixed with my color would make a color darker than me.
Mm-mm.
Not like
Sasha. So here's
one
the thing.
Shade.
You
darker.
Look at your, see, this is the problem. You look at your face. They get
not my
sunny.
Legs.
Your legs. Your legs is what you should have started with, because them pasty little things, that was the color. That's your true color. And Richard can't supersede that.
I'm so white, y'all. My legs are so white.
Y'all, I always get on her because, like, legitimately,
it's bad.
Y'all need to see. Ooh, Lord, that might be some.
And it's so hard for my legs to tan. It's
there
so
has
hard
to be
for me
some
to get
behind
a tan.
The scene content. I'm
I'll take a picture of my legs and put it on Patreon.
Because look, I don't be saying it's like I'm like, nah, for real. Like it's
no,
it's
my legs are
real.
Super white, and it's really hard for them to tan.
So you had a lot of like assumptions or thoughts in your head. So let me see. We did for us.
Did you care what it was, or did you
I really had no care whether it was a boy or a girl. Like I just was like, whatever you are. And it was our 16 week. It was one of those. I think it was 16 for us, but we were sitting there and they said, you know, do you want to know? Yeah. And it's a boy. And I was just like, huh. All right, cool. I didn't have any major feelings then, because I was like, I had an older brother. So Brandon is the oldest and he has a younger sister that's after him. I knew I wanted to have more. So I said, oh, that's so cute. It follows our family trend. Our family trend is boys first and then girls usually. So, you know, we'll see if that holds true. As I want to have
it didn't
one.
Hold true in our situation, because Richard has an older sister and I'm an only girl.
Yeah, so girls seem to be yeah y'all broke the mold.
Yeah,
see, so I didn't have any major feelings about whether I wanted to have a boy, wanted to have a girl. Now what I did, and I even asked Brandon, we had multiple conversations about it, because it was like, do you have any? He did not have a preference. And even though, like, you know, he didn't even have a major reaction of boy, because he was just like,
Richard had told me from when we were kids, like when we were in college, he was like, I don't make girls. And I've always was like, you don't know, like, you don't got no kids. Like, what are you talking about? But I guess he knew what his sperm was doing. Cause
he does not know.
He got lucky.
He does not know. He got lucky because you only wanted to have one. Yeah. If he could have had more, then we could talk about his odds and the chances. The odds were ever in his favor. It's only a 50% chance and you're only having one. All right, boy, we ain't got nothing else to test the rest. I can't stand, you know what?
It used to annoy me so much that he said that, because I promise you, I was convinced. I was like, because y'all, I've talked a lot about my relationship with my husband, and we've been through some things in our college years. I was convinced that the Lord was going to bless him with a daughter, and it would.
All the fear. So you
yeah,
have all
yes,
those fears.
It would be like, ooh. Oh, I was such a shitty boyfriend. Like, I hope someone never treats my daughter that way.
Mm-hmm. And then he got to be able to, but now he gets to teach, you know, Stokely I have not so. Be that.
I hope
but
so.
But no, so you want to know my first time that I, so in raising Black boys, my first time having a moment where I said, I'm fucking terrified having a boy and bringing a Black boy into this world was another one of Cyrus family has a lot of like stories. Brandon has had lots of interactions, as we heard at the last show.
Yeah.
You know, that you didn't hear about. You never heard about that story. Mm-hmm. I think I told the story about, it was like I was 5 months pregnant. I might have been six. I know that I was like, I was past the point where I knew I had a boy and I wanted some cereal. We had like no cereal. We had no cereal. We had milk. I was like, we lived down the street from the store, literally down the street, like 5 minutes or no more than 10 to go to the store, go in the line and everything and get back. I'm talking about a 30-minute trip. Okay.
Max.
Yeah. So he left out. It was about 8:30. It was actually 8 because I'm looking like 8:30. I'm like, all right, you know. Brandon takes forever to do everything. He's not does, time. Yeah. I don't know. Like everything in the world that can happen to him will. So I'm just like, all right, whatever. About 9 o'clock rolls around. I was just like, okay, now at this point, shit, even with traffic, even with like a million people in the line, let me call. Cause once again, so the cravings that I've always had, they were never like, I need it now. It was more so like, I really would like this, except for the Creole cheese that I cried over, but it took a week for me to break down crying. Took a week for me to break down crying over the grilled cheese. So I'm like, I was like, okay, just still waiting. But my worry for him starts to, all right, let me call. Don't answer. That's normal. Okay. About another 15, 20 minutes, I call again and I talk to him and he's like, hey, you know, I think that he said he got pulled over or something like that. It was somewhere in that, like he was getting pulled over. And I was like, oh, shoot. And he wasn't that far, but he was like, okay. I think that he got in the house, long story short, he got in the house like 3 o'clock in the morning because they said that he was, disobeying the police order. And the police order was to either not answer his phone or text. Mind you, he did not answer anything when they were there. Like it was literally, I think he might've got pulled over because he was on his phone. He hung up with me or whatever he was doing. After, you know, before he got pulled over, it was mm-hmm. like at the moment I was on the phone at the moment he was getting pulled over. Okay. He had not answered. And then I was after about an hour or so, I'm calling because I'm like, hey, is everything okay? And they're like, who's calling you? Who is that calling you? My wife, my pregnant wife, who's wondering where I am. And it's like, you know, that almost you got sass and attitude. So it's disobeying police order because I said not to answer your phone. I haven't answered my phone. You know, that's the thing that I get scared of because I have a well smart mouthed but also intelligent Black husband who, like, we know that anything you say is like, oh, you being disrespectful, and mm-hmm. now we're in this situation. So literally they arrested him for nothing, like literally disobeying a police order or something. Mind you, they disobeyed him. They arrested him for apparently being on his phone. But then when they got to lockup or to process, which was just like going through process and everything, it was disobeying a police order. So a different thing than what they said. Mm-hmm. They impounded the car mm-hmm. and he had to go to Clinton from where we used to live. Mm-hmm. We used to live in Capitol Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Go from Capitol Heights to Clinton to get the car and to come back.
Mm.
So at that moment, and he got in, and finally, I mean, he was giving me updates through like when he could, like after the situation happened, which was almost around like 11 o'clock midnight.
Yeah.
Then he finally like got out of the police station. Then he finally got able to say, I think I'm going to get the car, and then he had to Uber all the way over there and then drive home. So by the time he got in, it was like 3-4 o'clock. I was like, all of this because cereal.
Yeah.
And I felt like bad. I felt guilty. I felt like I can't bring, I was terrified because I'm sitting there. I couldn't sleep that night because I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm getting ready to raise, like my mind went to, am I about to raise my child alone? Every single time that he goes out of the house, I'm like, what if something happens?
Yeah.
And then the next thing is that I'm a widow. That's my mindset. So I know. That's what I was like. And I was like, that is my life with just a black man who's not a cop. So yeah. I know that you yeah. shared that. Like, yeah. it's crazy to think, but that's what I think of every time he goes out. I'm just like,
see, I feel like for me, I definitely had the, and this is gonna sound not the best, but part of me was somewhat relieved that Stokely is on the lighter side. Mm-hmm. Because regardless,
he looked more Spanish than he does black when he was born.
Yeah, but like the world's gonna see him as a colored.
They're gonna see him as something that's not white.
But colorism is also a thing. Mm-hmm. And light folks tend to be less quote unquote threatening than the darker skinned brethren of us. So I'm not gonna lie, like when he was first born and he came out lighter, it was kind of like, oh, like, okay, he's gonna be a little bit light. Mm-hmm. Even though I wanted a caramel color baby.
You wanted a caramel color baby, but the reality is that we all have these like mental thoughts and ideas, and it's like sounds taboo to say, but it's like, yeah, you look and you're like no, will you love your child any less, whatever? No, it's just, but you do recognize that colorism exists. And
and I've talked about it, I mean, before, my biggest fear when it comes to Stokely is that I have two. One is that he loves his daddy so much that trying to explain to him that not all police officers are daddy. Mm-hmm. And trying to help him understand, like, they're not going to look at you the way that your daddy does. Because he knows his dad is a police officer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really obviously understand what that means. Mm-hmm. But he knows, like, daddy's the police. And so mm-hmm. trying to explain to him, like, all police. And you know, and all of our friends, all of Richard's friends, they're all cops.
Yeah.
So all of the cops that he knows.
Brendan's godfather is a cop. We have multiple friends who are cops. Like, Brendan doesn't have a bad idea of cops. And I don't think I want him to.
No, I don't want him to either. Because that's how, like, the whole idea of, like, trying to scare kids by calling the cops is not a good
thing. I hate that.
Yeah, it's not that. I mean, you shouldn't. I understand why families fear cops.
I don't understand. I thought you was going to say, like, I don't understand why people do it. I don't understand why people do that.
And that's, I feel like it's mainly a white thing too. A lot of that mm-hmm. is like, because you know there's no real repercussions from that, like mm-hmm. being scared by a cop. But like he'll have all these people around him who are police officers that are black police officers. Like my whole in-law family, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law is retired, one of Richard's mm-hmm. cousins, they're all police officers. So he has this whole family that are cops.
Yeah, like he basically comes from a cop family.
Exactly. But, you know, trying to explain to him the difference between his family and what other cops are like, I think will be, especially because of where we live now. And he's going to mm-hmm. be around all these little white people. And I know I'm going to have to have a conversation probably earlier in life that's like, you can't be doing what Johnny is out here doing. Mm-hmm. Like,
Ethan.
Yeah. we don't do all of that. Mm-hmm.
No, and I mean, and yeah, you're going to have that conversation. Yes, because you moved to the boom, boom, boom docks. Like, and then you moved on up like the Jeffersons. But I mean, also, the thing that so the same conversation that I think of that I think is so important for Brendan is so, like, he's so loving and caring, but he's also so emotional. Every emotion that he has is big. Whatever he mm-hmm. feel, like his love, his happiness, his laughter can like fill the room. But when he's upset, it's like the stomps, the ire, and I'm just like, okay, I have to, and I do all parts of parenting. So that includes the creative parenting of the timeout, that includes the taking away from stuff, that includes the talking, and it also includes the switch and the belt if needed. It runs the spectrum.
I've never had to.
You haven't had to, and that's wonderful. But Brendan, I knew that I had to.
Now, Brendan was my child.
Like, the thing is that, but see, the thing is that I don't even need to, like, literally, I can pick it up. And he's just like, no, okay, you know what?
Yeah,
like,
I also,
he gets, like, no.
Brendan also is scared of me, so I doubt I would have to do anything.
Like, you literally, like, you terrify my child. So, I mean, he knows, like, he's like, I'm like, don't you see, it's he can point, he look at you, he's like, that's Stokely, that's not Sasha. And I was like, yeah, that's it. Like, just looking at the cards and pictures and everything, and he's just like,
he's like, I don't fuck with her.
Like, he's just like, yeah, that's cool. Like he legit, but I say that I do all of that because to me, the thing that I think of is Brendan, just like you said, we all know that there's a certain age when all of our kids are cute as hell. They're adorable. They're sweet. They're fun. We come around. And I'm like, oh, okay. They're going to not be that one day.
Yeah.
And we don't have the ability to have like that leeway of it's okay, you know, to yell, scream, hit, throw stuff, like all of those tantrums, they can be deadly historically for us. So I know that as a Black mother raising a Black son, my parenting and a lot of our parenting, I've realized, is fear-based. Because you didn't have a chance back growing up, our parents and our grandparents didn't have a chance to be like, oh, well, let me talk about why this is the way it is. We ain't had that. It was, you need to do what I say because your life depends on it. And we've moved somewhat from that because we don't have the... We can explain it to you. I don't have to kowtow or like, I don't have to bow down to a white person on the street or like shun, move my eyes. But I do have to explain, like, Brendan, tell me how you feel. And like, tell me, are you sad? So now when he, like, if I take something from him and he's just like, and I said, well, Brendan, what's wrong? And he's like, I'm sad. And I'm like, thank you. I have to teach him that he has to speak what he's feeling because he cannot act it out. And I think that's in general, like, even if he was not like, I think that treat all children that way. But looking at like,
you acting it out can be like you walking down the street mad. And all or of you, a sudden, like, or why even are you walking? In class.
Like, I think like of, we just saw the little 9-year-old girl who got pepper spray. Hell? I can't even imagine. Like, stop acting like a child. They told her, stop acting like a child.
She is a child.
And it was like, what?
She's allowed to act like a child. And then I think one of the officers told her, oh, you did this to yourself. Like, she's a child.
Like, she's nine. And those are the things that I'm terrified of.
The idea that, and this is the thing about all, like, kids of color, they have to grow up. They're expected to be act like older adults, have adult emotions, be like adults at such a young age. Like, it's circumvents a lot called, of their childhood.
But then on the same side, get called grown and get called fast and get called every other thing. Because that
my,
is like
my one of the things that worries me about Stokely, and I've talked about this. I had this conversation with my father-in-law. My husband is 6'3". Stokely is freakishly huge for his age. Like, he's the size of like a 5-year-old at 3.
He's not freakishly huge, but he is large.
You put him up to other 3-year-olds that aren't.
Oh no, I our friends. So see, this is the reason why I say that I can't. I've never seen him as freakishly huge, is because looking at Stokely, Brendan, and Rowan,
growth
some
chart.
Reason growth they're chart. All the same. Like they're in the same range. I was like, what is wrong with our children?
Stokely is the youngest out of all of our friends that me, Lisa, and Sheree who have kids. He's the youngest. They're all 5 weeks apart. Literally at his three-year-old checkup, he was in the 95th percentile for his height. Like, where it's supposed to be more of a curve on the chart, his lines shot straight up because that's how tall he's already in, like, 5T clothing.
Yeah.
Like, he is tall for his age.
And see, my child is tall and skinny. So he's in 5T lengthwise, but my poor baby is skinty. So I'm like, I don't know what, I was like, I don't know how to fix this. So
and
I'm
only 5'2", and Stokely already is 3.5 feet tall. Like, he's tall. And so, like, he was 2 feet tall by the time he was 2. Mm-hmm. Like, he was 3 feet tall by the time he was 2, excuse me. And so my fear with that is that he's going to be in school, he's going to be so much bigger than a lot of the other kids, especially these little white kids, because let's be honest, like I personally think that the chart for height and all that stuff is based on
white
folks, and they are
what chart Sasha what chart isn't
yeah
BMI
so it's based off of white folks, and most Black people, especially Black people, Spanish people are on the shorter side, Spanish men, but Black men are definitely on the taller side. And so, like, he's going to be taller than a lot of these little white boys out here in our little boom hick town, as you call it. And so,
call it a boom hick. Brandon called it a sundown town.
No, so. It's not. We can be out there sundown. But like, he's gonna be taller than all of these kids. And so, if he has big feelings or big emotions, he's gonna be looked at as being like, but you're grown, Like, you can't do all these things. And I know that's going to happen for a fact, because my father-in-law told me that he had to go through the same thing with my husband. You know, he was always the one going up to my husband's school for parent-teacher conferences, teachers telling, you know, him that my husband was, you know, immature. He was a class clown. He wasn't, like, acting right.
Wasn't acting his age, or he should be acting different.
Yeah, and my father-in-law's response was like, well, he's however old he is. He's a kid. Like, yeah, he's taller than you. He's taller than the teacher at some point, but he's still a kid. Like, mm-hmm. how do you expect him to act? He's the same age as everybody else here. Mm-hmm. But and mind you, my husband has been 6'3" the entire time I've known him. I met him at 17. He has always been 6'3".
Yeah,
so
I
don't know when I try to ask him when he became 6'3", and he doesn't remember, which means it's been a long time.
That means it happened when he was
he's probably
so what
in
that
eighth
means
grade
is like 13.
Yeah.
At 14, by 14, no later than 16, no later than 15, he was 6'3".
Yeah, he was 6'3" like, yeah. already. And
no, and that's
grown.
The thing. Like, my brother is 6'3", and I'm 5'3". See the 1 foot difference.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm confused as to where Brandon is going to drop in there. But I know he's going to be.
Not...
He is, but all of his brothers are 6 feet.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, my child, obviously, based on how he's going, because I said, I don't know, this tall thing that runs up to me and tackles us. I'm like, sweetie, you're almost my height. I'm gonna fight you one day, and I'm actually have to square up. But he's tall, and he's so, like, physical. The thing about Brendan is he's physical, and I'm like, a lot of people now, they're like, oh, that's boys. And I was like, well, that's great, but I need to know what happens when it becomes, like, not boys. When is it that, like, he knows how to play with girls differently? And we taught him that, because we were like, well, sweetie, no, you can't rough, like, with girls. And so he knows when he goes around, he's like, play gentle. Cool, play gentle. Like, he knows that. And he's so sweet and loving and caring, like, when, like, things go wrong. Like, if anyone cries around him, he'd just be like, what happened? Even if he did it, he's like, what happened? And we're like, you did it. You happened, Brendan.
That was me.
He's like, oh, that was me. Here, I'm sorry. Here, take 5 toys.
Brendan will definitely try to, like, hug you after he does it. Brendan will try to say sorry, even though it was him.
Brendan will be like, I'm sorry. Here, what toys do you want? Here, I'll just bring you 5. Like,
take
he's like, and I hope that, like, no matter what life throws at him, I hope he keeps that. Because I don't think you can teach that. I don't think you can teach someone to be compassionate.
Yeah.
I think you can nurture it, but I don't think you can teach someone to be.
Well, it's like Stokely right now, for like the past month, has gotten into this thing. He says, I'm sorry for everything.
Welcome to the phase, because Brendan will tell me I'm sorry. Like, he'll run into me, like, I'll accidentally bump him, and he's like, I'm sorry, mommy. And I'm like, Lord, okay.
He'll be playing, and he'll just, like, something. He'll do something, and he'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. To the point where, like, the woman brain of me is like, Mijo, stop apologizing. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, mm-hmm. why are you saying sorry so much? Like, because if he's playing with Richard, and, like, Richard does something to him, he'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. And Richard be like, you don't have to be sorry. Like, you didn't do anything. He'll be like, I'm sorry. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, why are you
it's a
so
phase
apologetic all of a sudden?
Brendan is in that same phase, or he's gone through that phase where it was just like, everything is, I'm sorry. And I was just like, okay.
I had to tell him today.
I told him it's okay. I tell him it's okay. You don't have to apologize.
Well, I say that to him, but I had to tell him today, because he said he did something in the bathtub. He was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, no. Stop saying you're sorry. Like, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, because I think that's like the fine line, because, you know, us people of color, we are taught to apologize for living in our own
space.
So
yes, you're sitting there like, he's apologizing for existing, and you're like, don't you? But also on
like,
that same
your
note
space.
Like, you're like, you own that space, but at the same time, we also have to remember that we have 3-year-olds, so they go through every phase. Like, there's going to be, like, if they go through the mind phase, they go through the
I just picture like, you know, and I like, imagine walking down the street,
mm-hmm.
and there's a group of white people walking towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they don't move because they expect you to.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm older, especially when I'm like with my friend Meredith, and we would go out to happy hour when happy hour was a thing, we would be like, no, we're not moving. Like, you can go around us, because this, and it's so subtle and not even conscious, I think, on their part, that they expect you to take up less space. Mm-hmm. And that's like a fine line that I think we're going to have with our sons, is that take up your space. Like, you deserve to have your space. But then at the same time, by them owning that they have this space, is what gets it. It's what can get them hurt, because it's like, you deserve.
Even, and it even makes them a target for people to look for them to do something like that. It's not even just that we're talking about them being a, like, you know, oh, you're not going to move, and that was an immediate issue. But like, even if you think in school, like a child that speaks up for themselves or outspoken child, it's a problem child. You know, it's called bossy. And I'm like, luckily the school that Brendan so far is in, they love, like, they're very nurturing, and they're like, I've heard how they interact with the students that are there, like in part, like the ones that are there. Cause we have one child that is very, like, she's actually just, she's almost four. So like, she, her birthday is late, early, I don't know, earlier. She just turned four, I think. Mm. So she's three turning four, where they're all just turning three into four later this year. So she has a little bit more of that personality of the, you know, I don't want to, but I hear how they handle it. And I was like, I like that they never make her feel bad. They tell her what needs to happen, and then they move on. And I was like, that's what I need to have happen. Yeah. And that's why I really, like, hope continues. And as we know, girls is different.
Girl, yeah, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, girls is different. Boys have so many things that, like, we have to talk about to our boys about girls in certain ways.
Yeah. Like, we've had to tell Stokely, like, because he plays with Charlie, Vashawn's daughter, and we've had to tell, like, you can't do that with Charlie. Like, don't, like, the same time, like, don't be so rough. And, like, mm-hmm. he knows there's a difference between girls and boys, because I've mm-hmm. talked about this before. My son loves his penis, and he knows that mommy does not have one. So he knows that girls don't have penises. Mm-hmm. Although he has told me that he would go to the store and get me one. So.
Yeah, he also, like, you know, he gonna buy you a penis.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm tell him that Auntie Ray will show you where you can buy penises.
No, not till he's older.
He gonna be 16, 17, and I'm gonna be like, hey, you don't know this, but you offered to buy your mommy a penis. Let me show you.
He's
where
gonna
that
be like,
is.
No, Auntie Ray, no.
But you know what? But he is very sweet. I mean, he offered to buy me shoes, his light up shoes, because I was like, I love those light up shoes. He's like, I'll buy them. That's another thing I'm worried about. See?
No, you will not. You will not be out here buying girls nothing. You will not do that. You are not about to be nobody's sugar daddy. No.
I said, your child is a little. See, I was like, I know my child's mean streak, and I appreciate it. I said, your child ain't yet got his.
No, he's not mean at all. My child doesn't have a mean bone in his body.
I done seen my child's mean streaks. I'm like, I don't think I have to worry about him. Like, he's petty. Like, if he doesn't want to share something, he'll be like, he'll
Stokely
look at
Stokely is
like,
such a just chill child. He really is just amazingly chill. I think, like, and I saw somebody put this in the comments last week, that I think, you know, as moms raising these little black and Latino boys, it's mm-hmm. you have to push out the fear that kind of always mm-hmm. lingers there, because it's like kind of what you said, you don't want to raise them in fear. You don't want to like always be so scared that you are overprotective or overzealous, or like teaching them that, like, I think there's a fine balance between like the world isn't safe for you versus like
I pulled up the comment. I was like, oh yeah, we're probably going to use that one. For, I can even see this is going to be a tasting note on that one. But like, you're right. It's we don't want to. I think that I don't want to raise Brendan. What is my hopes? I don't want to raise Brendan to be scared of people in general, whether it's white, black, or other. I also don't want him to inherently pick up like this idea that white people are bad, because there are good and bad people.
Bad people are everywhere.
In all the range.
Yeah.
I want him to be able to, I guess the word is discern. I want him to be a good judge of character.
Yeah.
And I also want him to have a good understanding of like the situation. So I think that's what it is. So what we teach black and brown kids that white people, I don't think have to, is we teach them to be situationally aware.
I think it's like we teach them the realities of the world way before they should be privy to all of that.
But you know what? Let me tell you why. I think because because to not teach them is to leave them out there where it'll
you're leaving
be
them
even
a handicap.
More damages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think of my nephew, who is 14 and towering over my head already. And I'm just like, this is some BS. And with a little smart mouth, because, you know, he definitely has gotten this tone as teenagers. And I'm looking at him and this is my baby. Like he was my first baby. Like, and now I'm like, he's just like, yes. And I was just like, ooh, those extra. I was like, why are you snake talking me? And he's just like, what? But he's still my baby.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him like, I have to teach him. He was, I think, 12. It was different ages where we got to a point, I think it was where he always had a mouth. And I was like, Brendan, I mean, I'm not Brendan, but I used to tell my nephew, I was like, you cannot talk back and argue. If I tell you something, and we like had to have a lot of real life lessons, and he still didn't even get, and I said, no, you don't get what we're talking about. Brandon has sat down with him and we were like, no, in life, it's not fair, but this is what it is. You cannot just be out here with a smart ass mouth because that can get you hurt. If we tell you to do something, we're not discussing it. Yeah. We're not asking. I don't care about your feelings about it. Yeah. We'll talk about it when we get home and I tell you that we can talk about and share. But if I'm telling you to do something, this isn't a debate. There are times when we have that. And I had to do that from when he was about 9, 10, all the way to still now, where I'm just like, sweetie, you really don't understand. Like he went to the African-American Culture Museum and he saw like the four girls who were bombed, you know, and they were killed in the bombing. And he was like, and he read that and he was just like, they were like a year older than me. And he was, just, and I think those are the experiences that I want to make sure
because
that
as
Brendan
far as
gets.
The world's concerned, your nephew is grown. If anything were to happen to him right now on the news, he's an adult. He is
He was this towering force.
He was threatening. And, he was scary. He was, you know,
all of these things. And that's the thing. I still don't know that. And none of us know the age that happens. But like you said, it goes
like
back to
like
what
7.
We were saying. We don't know when, I don't know what day it happened. Is it when their voice changes? Is it when they first get that first tone that's like, hello? Is it, what is it? And I'm not going to know until it happens.
Yeah.
It's not something, it's not like, girls, we have a physical thing that happens that lets us know that, hey, we kind of are at least grown or we got grown things that can happen.
I feel like
boys
it's when
don't
they,
have
it's
that.
It's when they
like
stop smiling. When they like they start trying to be like big boys and be all tough and now everything's all serious and now they can't smile in front. Like I feel like it's 7. I feel like that's when it starts.
You feel like it's 7.
I don't know why. I feel like 7 is like the age.
That is a good question. But see, that's the thing. I don't know what age it is that they stop being cute to the outside world.
Yeah.
But when they start being threatening, because to me, I think that's another thing. They're never going to be threatening to us.
No.
And it, like, I don't care how, I do not care.
Ass, like.
Exactly. I tell my nephew that. I was like, I want you to understand, sweetie, like, that I don't care how tall
you
are. You
will never scare me. You're never
I will
going
knock
to scare
you
me.
On the ground and we will fight. And I dare you to hit me. I dare you to try it.
Well,
and I'm going to tell Brendan.
And that's the thing too. Like you, like part of me, like, it's like, what happens if I'm ever in a situation where Stokely is a teenager, he's taller than me. Something happens to me and him being a son is like, I have to defend my mom, but he's still a kid. But because he's going to be probably this tall looking grown
man. And protective of his mom, which we know that kids are protective of their parents.
It'll be an issue. Like if something like that were to ever pop off. So I think it's just like, it's a fine balance of
even though we did definitely say that if they ever did any dumb shit or created or
snitching.
Some crime, not even that he's snitching.
He's gonna be like,
you can't come into my
that.
House. You can't come into my house and like, I'm not getting ready to be on TV making a fool out of myself. Oh, he would never. I wish. Hey, did you do what they You better go on down there.
I need to know what you did before.
I need to know. Because I'm going to ride for you. But if I come, if it comes out that you did it, you better hope that you're in jail. You better hope.
Yep.
So like that's my hope. I hope that I want to raise my son to be able to always know that they can come to me.
I just want Stokely to be able to thrive. I wish, and it's such a naive and like, you know, and rosy glasses view. I wish he could just have the sheltered life that he has at three and it stay that way. Yeah. I wish that he could grow up in a world where he was always just able to live in his truth.
Like to live his happy smile.
Experience all of his emotions without it being a problem. Like never having to tamper down how he feels. Like being able to stand in his own and not having to censor or push down some of himself to make other people feel comfortable
and not be judged in his moments forever. Yeah. I agree. I do agree that I wish that like the way that Brendan is, like all of the laughter that fills the room when we're running around and like playing, I wish that I hope he never loses his laugh. That's what I'll say.
Because you don't want them to become I mean, and Cyrus has said this, like he has a chip on his shoulder. You don't want them to become cynical about the world that they live in. Yeah. But that is what happens. I want him to be aware. Yeah.
But I don't think that we can even protect against that because the way that the world is, and I'm sorry, even with like just looking at the world today, great that, you know, we have a new president, but like the world still is a full fucked up mess. Mm-hmm. And with that, I don't see it getting to a place where we have our ideal utopia that we wish. So racism is not going to, I hope it's not the same.
We have to prepare our children for the world that they live in, unfortunately, and hope. And we have to prepare them for the world that it is today and hope that they won't need to use all of that in the future. I think
So I really do hope that Brendan never loses his laugh. Yeah. That's my hope for my little joyous black boy.
I know.
And I know that I don't want Stokely to ever lose his smile because that little smile lights up the
He stops smiling, I'm gonna be like, oh, I miss your smile.
I promise you he's gonna still smile even after seven though.
Because I remember with my husband for a very long time, he would never smile in pictures. Like, of course, I saw him smile.
No. For y'all to know, I never did.
Yeah,
I
just never. But now he does. Like, he smiles now. Yes, now he does. Like, it took him, he had to get to about 26 before he started smiling again.
It was like the first time that I saw him smiling, and I still have that picture. It was at your wedding. He was drunk, and I said, you know what?
That was 29. You were 29 then.
Yeah, but I promise you, I don't remember like a lot of.
A genuine smile.
I will say the first time that I noticed it was when we've all come together with the kids, when he says hi to Brendan or Stokely or Rowan, and like I was like, this is when I've seen the most genuine like happiness from Brandon and Richard, Kevin, all of them. Is just like this joy. Yeah. And I was like, this is what, that's another part of my fears that I don't want them to ever have to feel like they can't be that joyous.
Black boy joy. Black boy joy is a thing. It's a thing. So we would love to hear, I'm going to leave it at that because I feel like that's a happy way to end.
That is a little
Black
happy
boy joy.
Black
we would joy. Love to hear about your experiences with raising your kids and fears, hopes, dreams that you have for them. You can always email us at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. We want to thank you so much for allowing us to have an amazing season two.
I think
this season was not what we expected it to be.
I know, but there but has
this
been
podcast
so much.
Is not what we expected it to be. We started it last January in a pandemic before the pandemic started, and then we just kept rolling with it.
And here we are.
So we just want to thank you so much for season two and for you guys being faithful listeners. It really, really warms our heart seeing you guys show up in our comments and our lives and all of that. We definitely appreciate it. Because this episode drops February 17th, I'm going to go ahead and plug our wine and watercolor event. You can still get tickets available for it. The link is in our bio. It is $15 for tickets where you can come sip some wine and paint some wine with us.
Yes.
It's all virtual, but we have a watercolor artist who will be joining us, and it's really easy. We're going to send you guys a supply list. You can actually sign up until the 20th because you can go to your local craft store and get everything that you need. It's nothing special. But we send all of that out, but it's just, it's a great way to just have some fun.
Yes.
Release some stress.
We need some stress relief other than wine, but why not just look at wine? We can paint some wine and then you hang it up in your house.
Yeah. And then it makes you feel better. Cause you're like, I did that. So tickets are still on sale. While we are taking a break for season 2, that doesn't mean we're going anywhere. We plan on having events every month.
Yes.
We have them all the way up until June. I think we've talked about somewhat what they'll be. So we have them worked out at least until the summertime. We most likely will be coming back with new episodes in May. That's what I'm going to go with, because we take 2 month breaks.
Yeah, we usually take 2 months.
But during the breaks, we'll be replaying some of our favorite episodes from season 2. And we also will be putting out a couple of episodes that we call Tasting Notes, where we just talk about your reactions to some of the episodes that we've had this season. So you can stay tuned and listen to those types of things. You can always support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. You can become part of our Sip Squad, where you get lots of great benefits. We will still be active on there even throughout our break. We'll be having wine talks and Ask Me Anythings, and
we're gonna have join us and all of our foolishness behind the scenes.
Yes, you get to see these videos that we record. Since we record over Zoom, you'll get to actually see what we look like when we're recording, and all the foolishness that we have while we're recording. It's as little as $3 a month. It's like literally a cup of coffee, you guys. And you can become a Sip Squad. There we go. A Sip Squad member.
Yes, a Sip Squad.
Pretty much, if you join our Sip Squad, you help pay for our editor. He does it all for free. Rajesh, I'm shouting you out on our last episode. Rajesh has been on the show a couple of times, but he edits all of our podcasts and he does it for free. And I and Sheree would love to pay him at least a little something.
Yes.
So anytime you join as a Sip Squad, he loves us. Yes. And anytime. So if you join the Sip Squad, it does help give him a couple of dollars every now and then. But we thank you guys so much for a successful season 2. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram at Swirl and Sip Podcast. You can find the podcast on all your major podcast platforms. We're on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Alexa, Pandora, iHeartRadio, so many other places. You can, what else am I missing here? I feel like my spiel is all off.
Rate
and review the podcast. So those are the two important things. If you rate and review, it helps other people find the show.
You can send us questions, right? Did you say you can send us questions?
If you have a topic, suggest us topics. You can suggest topics to us on the website. We have a form that you can fill out to suggest a topic. If you want to be on the show, we're actually going to be finalizing our season 3 guests in the coming month or so. So you can submit a request to be a guest on the show. If you have Friday Live topics that you want to talk about, you can always shoot those to us. Like I mentioned before, hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. You can shoot us topic suggestions, questions, anything that you want to via that email. And we will see you in May. So make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for season 3.
Bye. Bye.